Just in. It's time for the wrestling show to take a very cynical look back at, representing the WWE and live from the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. It's Monday Night Hurrah! Air date, March the 11th, 2024. This episode is the Road to WrestleMania. So, let's go in.
Welcome to All Wrestling Show. I'm your most fickle host, Lip Hazelwood, and this is a very cynical look back at the latest episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we dive into the show, just a quick shout out to the non-competitors. That's right, they are the glue that holds the building together. First and foremost, representing the general manager, and that is Adam Pearce. And then, of course, getting all the pre-match interviews and all the backstage scoops, it's Jackie Redmond. And heading down to the ring, we've got the officials. The referees and a team of referees tonight are, of course, Danilo Anfibio, Daphne LeSean, Eddie Aringo, Rod Zapta, and Sean Bennett. And, of course, letting everybody know who's about to fight and the results of such matches, it's Samantha Irving. And least we forget, it's the commentary crew. The play-by-play guys, the hosts, and I call them the narrators of the whole damn show. They are the team of a longtime veteran of over 25 years. It's Michael Cole! And backing up Michael Cole, they call him, he is very rambunctious and very enthusiastic. He is Mr. Football himself, Mr. Pat McAfee. Now, without any further ado, let's get started with the show. The big show. And this is a big show today. Of course, this is very close to WrestleMania. Getting closer still. So we start with, this show is all about the one thing. It's finding Gunther. Yes, that's right. Gunther. Who he's going to fight at WrestleMania. So they got this massive gauntlet match to find out who will be number one. But we'll find that out later. But of course, what happens first? We got ourselves Mr. Drew McIntyre out there. Drew. And he talks about selfish, delusional, arrogant, hypocrite. And I'm thinking, wow, my goodness. Drew McIntyre, he's talking smack about himself. What's with Drew McIntyre, Yalski? And he talks about a junkie who couldn't. And he's a junkie. Drew McIntyre's not much. How many junkies are there in a WWE? But he's talking about Seth Rollins. A junkie for having the limelight, the attention on himself. You know, because he couldn't help himself tagging with Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. Night one, because night two he couldn't focus on the main goal was Drew McIntyre. You know, he should be his main attention. And Drew McIntyre talks about the history of wrestling, where it started from carnivals, to arenas all around the world. And in order to do that, you need to evolve. In order for evolution, you must work with the powerful people. Make this happen. And I guess Drew McIntyre has talked about, you don't mess with The Rock. You know, he's all about family. He didn't really say that, but pretty much you don't mess with the bloodline, which he is. And he's got himself involved with Cody Rhodes. But not. Anyway, Seth Rollins comes out there. He's hurt enough. You know? And he basically tells Yip to shut your mouth, big man. He gets in the ring. He's all upset with Drew McIntyre for last week. He was attacked. He was claymore kicked in the head. Because where else is he going to claymore you? That's where he is. Anyways. So he says, maybe you should finish the job. Here, claymore me once more time. Claymore me one more time. No, he doesn't. He said, oh, maybe you're a coward. That's right, because you're a coward and you got to do it with my back turned. He tried to turn his back. He tries to egg on Drew McIntyre for the old the kick, but he doesn't go for it. No, sorry. No, no, no. But Seth Rollins incites more. He compares Drew McIntyre for a wrestler, for a peer of his, a one that Drew McIntyre put out, so he can no longer have his WrestleMania moment, and that's CM Punk. So he compares Drew McIntyre to CM Punk, calling him, "You guys both are you." Well, he says, "You're a bigger hypocrite than CM Punk." You know. Because, when it comes down to the bloodline, you want what they have, like the belt, and they go against you, all of a sudden you're crying and whining. But then when they're helping you win a match, where are you? You're like happy for their help? You're like the honorary bloodline member. So it comes down to this. What Seth Rollins' plans for WrestleMania? Day one, take out Roman Reigns and the bloodline. Day two, take out Seth Rollins, done and done. Seth Rollins, the third match, lost, and he's got nothing else to say. But boo, hoo, hoo. But I don't know. I think Seth Rollins might lose against Drew McIntyre on WrestleMania. Anyways, moving on to our very first match of the night. It is Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. This match here was like 3 weeks in the making. You know, like 2 weeks ago. It was Becky Lynch interfering in Liv Morgan's match. And then last week it was Liv Morgan interfering in Becky Lynch's match. And both these, Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan, had one thing in common. And that was, Nia Jax. Both fighting Nia Jax. Even though we both know, right friend? That Nia Jax would have beaten them both up without any help. Without any help. But I think she got the win anyways through disqualification. Disqualificatione. Anyways, this match here was a good match. Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch, I make fun of her a lot. You know, if I through my shows, I throw some shade her way. But one thing I can honestly say about Becky Lynch is when she comes down to working, she is a hard worker. She hustles in the ring there. You know, I call her, she likes to be a luchador, but no one calls her luchador because her moves are so, you know. It's like, well, at least she went on a top rope, regardless. But when Becky Lynch wrestles, she puts her heart into it. She really goes all out. She puts a lot of effort in there, because that's why I call her, she hustles. She's a hustler in the ring there. And this one here, she tries, because I think every wrestling match, when you start off every match, you're starting pretty cold. You got to be pretty damn good to have like a great match from start to finish. But a lot of times, it's like it takes a couple of minutes before both wrestlers really warm up to get a great match going. You know, so there's a lot of But the second part of the match is what really matters, because you know, that's when people remember near the end. Because they can't when you see a big moment, all of a sudden they can't remember what the crappy stuff that happened before. But regardless, I think Becky Lynch's strength is in her longevity, the length of her matches, because people remember it's a barn burner. At the end of the match, it's like, wow, that's some good stuff happening. That's some good stuff happening. And that's what I think wrestling should be. They got to be a comfortable spot where you got to get warmed up, and then you got yourself your real work. And you can't do that in 2 minutes. You just can't do it in 2 minutes. Anyways, this match here was about 16 minutes long with your referee in a match. It's Danilo and Fabio. A lot of back and forth. Really good. Really good. Now, we had some moments where it could have been bad. I mean, in the beginning of the match where Becky Lynch was outside the ring. Liv Morgan goes for a tope suicida between the second and third ropes. Now, her back of her heels hit the top rope, the third rope, which stopped all the momentum, and she dropped right down. But thank goodness Becky Lynch was close enough to, when she dropped down on top of Becky Lynch. So, disaster, averted. Now, another thing. Becky Lynch goes for a springboard kick. You know, it's like, really? I mean, you gotta be pretty non-flexible if you can't kick someone in the stomach without jumping onto something. You know, and this is what happened. Becky Lynch jumps. Becky Lynch is an athletic woman. She's athletic. I mean, it would take nothing at all for her to jump to the second rope to do a springboard kick to the face. But she doesn't. She goes on the first rope. Like, what's going on? Are you some sort of Captain Rookie? A Captain Rookie? But she goes on the first rope. Mike Cole says, you can't do that first rope. I'll just say it's the second rope. Make you look better. And she jumps off the first rope just to kick Liv Morgan in the stomach. Something she could have done without jumping on any rope. Regardless, my bitch didn't complain. Let's move on. Now, Becky Lynch, she goes on to the second rope. She jumps off to do some move. And the move is to get caught with the old, code breaker, Liv Morgan. And Becky Lynch goes flying for a loop. Mm-hmm, it's true. Now, we had a moment here where you're really thinking, like, this match was going, ooh, this match was tough. And this right here was the end of the tough moments, where Becky Lynch tries to go for what it seemed like the big moment of the match, where Liv Morgan is outside the ropes, still on the ring apron, but outside the ropes, and Becky Lynch gets behind her for a German suplex. What it seems like would be a German suplex, where Becky Lynch would be German suplexing Liv Morgan from the ring apron to outside the ring, which is a very high-risk maneuver. It takes a highly skilled move. I don't think either one of these two are up for the maneuver. And you can tell because Becky Lynch was doing all she could do not to do the move. When I say that, she was literally, you can see her hands holding onto the second rope for dear life, making sure she don't hold on, let go. Because, you know what, it was weird. It's like, it's Becky Lynch, just in case she ends up, Liv Morgan doesn't have the strength to hold on. You know, you don't want to tear her off by accident. That's so ridiculous. So ridiculous. But after that, Liv Morgan throws Becky Lynch off of her. She gets with the, sunset flip. She sunset flips Becky Lynch, so she's standing on the ground. And then she power bombs Becky Lynch. So yeah, that was the big spot, and the crowd seemed to cheer for it. So it was a big one. You know, thank goodness for that 4 to 5 inch of matting outside there. There's a lot of, like I always say, there should be more bigger spots outside like this, but there's only so much give on those paddings. It's still got it painful. I guess it's got to be really painful, you know. Anyways, they take it inside there. Becky Lynch is taking over. Actually, no, it's Liv Morgan taking over. Liv Morgan goes to second, it goes to top rope. She jumps off top rope, just like Becky Lynch did. Now, before that, they fought on. During the end sequence, Becky Lynch got the manhandle slam onto, Liv Morgan. She rolled out of the ring at a safety. Later on, Liv Morgan got the old oblivion on Becky Lynch. She rolled out of the ring. But here's the thing. End sequence is this. Let's get to end sequence now. Liv Morgan goes to the top rope to jump off to do some maneuver. Maybe the same thing Becky Lynch thought of doing, but when she got code breakered. She jumps off and she gets caught with the manhandle slam. The manhandle slam. The Uranagi, some would say. The rock bottom, the standing rock bottom. But Uranagi down. So yeah, Becky Lynch wins this barn burner of a match. Mm-hmm. Then Morgan leaves the ring there and she finds that Rhea Ripley coming to the ring to meet her opponent at WrestleMania. So passing. Liv Morgan passing Rhea Ripley. She says she wants her title. She has a few words to Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's not concerned whatsoever. She had nothing but contempt, laugh, whatever. So Rhea Ripley, she gets in the ring and tears Becky Lynch a new one in that very ring with some, not just literally, but with her words. Now, first of all, she starts by congratulating Becky Lynch with their victory over Liv Morgan. Mm-hmm. But she talks about how she wrestles. That she, whenever Becky Lynch is wrestling, she doesn't, there's no resting for Becky Lynch. You know, she leaves it all on the line. Lay it on the line. Yeah. You don't do it just for yourself. You do it for the fan, the people, and your family. You do it for your family, too. So you do it for a lot of people. But however, after WrestleMania, you will no longer be the man. You'll just be a disappointment. Wah, 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 wah. Because if we're all Rhea Ripley. Now, Ripley, this storyline's similar to what's going on with her husband, Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, where Seth Rollins is focused on other things other than his big match against, Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, like the Bloodline. And the same things with this. Basically, it's Rhea Ripley's accusing, Becky Lynch of keeping yourself wrestling all the time. Keep yourself wrestling all the time. So when it comes to WrestleMania, she's got an excuse when she loses. Mm-hmm. So yeah, why are you taking on so much? You know you're going to lose. So anyways, yeah. So that'll be WrestleMania. Will it happen? Will it not happen? Will Becky Lynch accept more fights before WrestleMania? We'll find out soon enough. Next up, we go backstage. It is with Adam Pearce and SmackDown General Manager Nick Aldis. They've got this big, announcement to make. Apparently, Judgment Day, their Day of Judgment needs to come, and it's going to have to come at WrestleMania. Because at WrestleMania, there's going to be a six-pack ladder match. A six-pack ladder match for the wrestling, the Tag Team Championship belt. Three from Raw and two from SmackDown. Challengers, of course. Because, of course, it's going to be Damian Priest and Finn Balor are going to round off the team. With that said. But, however, on the road to WrestleMania, they're going to have a couple of, qualification matches. And it's going to be tough because there's a lot of tag teams out there. No, I should say there's very few tag teams in the WWE. It's rough. It's rough in the WWE. It's rough. Anyways, we go backstage and Finn Balor and Damian Priest are completely upset about the news because they're not defending their tag teams against one team. They're defending them against five other teams, which is completely ridiculous. I mean, what's going on here? What's going on? Why is that? Why they got to do such a work? You know, put them against the world. Now, Becky Lynch says it's her against the world. But it's really the Judgment Day versus the world. Anyways, moving on. So they go up to, they're going to complain to the management. They're going to pull a Chelsea Green. That's it. We're not taking it anymore. Who's the manager? Okay, so with that said, we go to our second match of the night. This is an interesting one. Because last time these two teams met, it was in the locker room. And it was Candice LeRae, telling Maxine Dupri that she ain't worth, she's not worthy of tying her bootstraps. So it's Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell versus Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri. Now, it was interesting. It was Indy Hartwell and Ivy Nile in the ring there for her first bit. Ivy Nile ends up tagging out to Maxine Dupri. Maxine Dupri, she does a lot of hard work. Maxine, though, now she's got a lot of contentions. You know, she's working hard. I think she could have used a couple of years in the NXT or the Level Up before she got really pushed into the main thing. But anyway, she after you get tagged in, she does a number on Indy Hartwell. And then she sets up for... Otis does this, something called the Caterpillar. The Worm. Some people might know it. He renamed it the Caterpillar. And I guess Maxine Dupri, she's not coordinated enough to do the Worm properly. So she can only do it backwards, apparently. Only do it backwards. So she does... She gets Indy Hartwell down. She starts doing this backwards, kind of weird, floppity, fish out of water thing. She's flopping around. And she stopped right then and there in her tracks by Candice LeRae. He's like, no, 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 no. You're not doing that. Not today, not here, not to us. You look like an idiot. You look like a complete fool. So it was, you look stupid. It's like, wow, tough. And she talks about now, she says, it's a good, now I believe this is what she said. She says, Candice LeRae says to, What's that? Maxine Dupri. She says, it's a good thing your dead brother isn't here to see what you have become. Zinger. And Maxine was so stunned by these verbal comments. She's like, oh, am I being punked? Oh, oh. She's looking around, seeing if there's, she's seeing, I don't know. I don't know what she's doing. But she's shocked. Maybe she's trying to look for Ivy Nile. Like, oh, what? No, whoa, 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 whoa. So she walks away stunned. Like, she's like, maybe she's in another person, other people's feet. So she's crazy. I don't know. It's weird. So she's completely stunned. She's like, oh, why never? Oh! And she walks away in Indy Hartwell with one simple pump kick to the chest. Kick. She goes down. Cancel rake. You know, it's Ivy now trying to climb back the ring. Oh, oh, oh. And she gets kicked off the ring apron there. And then that's Maxine Dupri just lays there. I think she's, her ego is so busted up, she just can't fight anymore. Her legs gave out with a busted ego. So, yeah, it's Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell with their very first victory in this year, at least. And it's this match. It's about character building, I guess. They're really talking about. They're really pushing, I guess. Candice LeRae being the poisonous pixie. And they're really pushing the poison part. You know, it's good. You know, she's a cute girl, and then maybe she should have some fangs. And speaking of fangs, we got ourselves a little bit of, the Judgment Day. Backstage, all upset over the fact that they got this crazy ladder match coming up at WrestleMania, and they don't think it's fair at all, and they want to know who exactly it made the match. Whose fault was it? And they're like, oh, no, not me, I can't say it. No, could it be? I don't know. And they said, well, you know, we did talk to the Miz and R-Truth. Miz is not there. Miz is doing some press. Miz is doing press with R-Truth. So they're both not there. And then it's R-Truth walks in. Hoop, doop, de doop, de doop. It's like, oh, R-Truth, aren't you supposed to be doing press with the Miz? R-Truth's like, yeah, I'm supposed to be doing press, but that's on Monday. Quack, quack, wah, 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 wah. And Damian Priest gets right into R-Truth's face because he thinks R-Truth has got something to do with this whole the six-pack challenge ladder match at WrestleMania. So he's, I'm going to take you out. And R-Truth's like, what did I do? Ooh, Scooby-Dooby-Doo! He didn't say that, but he might as well have. Okay, so now next up, we got ourselves, oh my goodness, oh, Michael Cole. He's out there with the...
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Cody Rhodes.
And I think I'm gonna blow. There's a bathroom stall, I'm finally here. The toilet's there, I'm about to blow. I ate 5 tacos before the show. Shut the door and I sit down on the throne. Oh, whoa, I was never party trained. When I was younger, my father was never...
That's right. Cody Rhodes is out there now. He's got this thing, obviously. He's got big WrestleMania. He's got this tag team match against, with Seth Rollins against, If You Smell The Rock. I call him Vinny the Rock Diesel.
Hey, it's all about family. It's all about the family.
Furious. He's all furiously talking to family these days. Anyways. So it's, what's up? Michael Cole talked to Cody Rhodes, and he talked about, so, why? Why did you slap The Rock in the face? Because apparently, it feels good to slap your boss, apparently. That's what he says. Hope a lot of people don't start slapping their bosses. Because it feels good, because it doesn't go well with your career. You know, it just doesn't. Anyways, but because The Rock is a former wrestler, The Rock used to be a wrestler. Oh boy, it's been a long time. So anyway, so he understands what it is to meaning when he has a receipt, when he's given a receipt. So anyways, No, here's the thing. So why did you take the match on day one at WrestleMania? You know, and then Michael Cole tries to stir the pot.
Seth Rollins, he had a problem with you a long time ago, you know. He really didn't want you back inside the WWE, and Seth Rollins wants to be the greatest champion out there. And what makes you think Seth Rollins won't stab you in the back? Stab you in the back.
So anyways, why can you trust Seth Rollins? So Cody Rhodes says, you know, just like you, Michael Cole, and just like me. He says some examples, such. So, but people can change, you know. And now another thing, So Michael Cole then quickly goes to the next question. Now, Cody Rhodes goes. His next question is like basically 5 months ago. About 5 months ago, Michael Cole asked a question. It's like, is falling short like your father did? Is that going to be your story? So bringing that up, I guess Michael Cole was a little bit red-facened. But, it's hilarious because the story, it's not about him. Now, this is where the manipulator comes in place. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is
Hi. What do you want to talk about? Hello, everybody. I'm Cody Rhodes. Love me, please.
This is a needing. This is where the manipulation, where you don't make it about yourself. You make it about the people. You had something to do with me becoming a champion. You know? So it's ridiculous. That's what all these people do, like John Cena. They don't make it about himself. They make it about everybody. So they can, like, who cares? So he does what he does. He's a manipulator and he starts doing it he starts crying. He starts getting all emotional. I do it for my wife. My mommy. My wife. She was here when I was. And he gets all serious.
And now, hi, what do you want to talk about? WrestleMania 40.
So yeah, basically, Cody Rhodes wants to be the first Rhodes ever to become the world champion. So yeah, wonderful story of Cody Rhodes, and he's showing his massive acting skills. You know,
I am going. You know, serious Cody Rhodes is crying. Cody Rhodes and confident Cody Rhodes.
Michael Cole has heard enough. Anyways, moving on. We go backstage now. It's with a little bit of the Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch back there. And they have a mutual understanding that,
hey, you worked hard. I respect you. Oi, respect you. Oi, respect you.
And they shake hands. And when they shake hands, they both get taken out by Nia Jax. Nia Jax clobbers on Liv Morgan, throws her into the crates. The moving crates, and then Becky Lynch, she gets picked up, and she gets chokeslammed. She gets chokeslammed right through a table, right through a merch table, like a soap. It's true. Mm-hmm. So then next up, we got ourselves a tag team champion, a tag team championship match. And it's a women's division, so it has to be a mid-card. It's like, wow, let's throw this as a mid-card. Can't throw this at the first match or last match. Has to be a mid-card. So ridiculous. A tag team championship match, a mid-card. Can you believe it? Anyways, you're defending, and your reigning and defending champions are representing the new Damage Control. They are the Kabuki Warriors of Asuka and Kairi Sane, and accompanying them to the ring, it is, of course, Io Sky and the translator, Dakota Kai. Versus, of course, Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. Now, this wasn't a good start for this match, because right before the match started, they got a little bit of a graphic of the Damage Control. Like, well, there's a sign there, who they're pushing and who they're not pushing. So anyways, this match here was about 10 and a half minutes. Sean Bennett was the referee in this match. The last match was Eddie Ringo. Anyway, Sean Bendis in this match. This was 10 and a half minutes. A lot of back and forth. Do tag ropes matter? Well, the women seem like they're more... it's a lifeline. It seems pretty good. Seems pretty good. They got a lot of double teams, though. One, Michael Cole called it the elbow. But isn't that supposed to be the sliding D? The sliding D? You know, when she does, usually does it in the corner. It's a sliding D! I'm not sure why it's called a D for, but that's what they call it. Anyways, Asuka with a sliding knee. The knee and a D. Right on to Shayna Baszler. Shayna B. The knee and a D on the B. Anyways. Yeah, we got a moment here. It's Zoe Stark's get the 360, the Z360 on Kairi Sane. With Shayna Baszler, hits her with the flying knee, goes for a pin attempt, but it is Asuka getting the breaking that pin up. Mm-hmm, it's true. Now it is Zoe Stark. Now, I can't call it the 4-point Otis because it is well worse than a 4-point Otis. Now, Zoe Stark gets rid of Asuka outside the ring there. She tosses Asuka outside the ring. She tries to follow up with a slingshot Tope Suicida. The slingshot high cross. But, of course, while she's going through here, Asuka gets out of the way and she just squashes herself outside the ring there. And it's in one-on-one. Is Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler. They start scuffling inside the ring there. Shayna tries to get the Karafuna clutch onto Kairi Sane. Then she starts maneuvering herself. It's so ridiculous. She starts maneuvering herself, so she's Shayna Baszler's foot's to the ropes, and that's when the translator, Dakota Kai, grabs her leg. The referee, Sean Bennett, he's looking directly at them. He could easily see what's happening there. It's ridiculous. But it just stops. So Shayna Baszler, she turns around. Oh, you there. What you doing? That's it. So she was upset. And then it is both Asuka and Kairi Sane taking over, beating up some Shayna Baszler, finishing off with their finishing move. Now, finishing move is basically Kairi Sane giving the insane elbow. Asuka, she holds Shayna Baszler in place. She basically holds her in place, holds her upwards. And then Kairi Sane jumps off the top rope with the insane elbow. And it's Asuka just lets go of Shayna Baszler. That's all she does. No, it's not really a tandem move. It's Kairi Sane doing the insane elbow. Anyways. So then we go backstage. It's a little bit of the Judgment Day, you know. No Dominic Mysterio. But it's, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, JD McDonagh, and Rhea Ripley. And Andrade comes up there. Mr. I talk with a mouthful of marbles when it comes down in English. Terrible, terrible. Just battling the English language. Anyways, he does his best. But he came over there with Dominic's request. But Dominic's not there today. But Finn Balor seems very pleased with having prospects of having Andrade part of Judgment Day. So then, we move on. In our next match, it is R-Truth versus Damian Priest. Now, Damian Priest has got a lot of frustrations to get out in this match here. He's blaming R-Truth for a lot of things. He has no idea what he's done. R-Truth still thinks he's part of Judgment Day. So maybe he just thinks he's getting another initiating beating. Regardless, so this match was surprisingly not good. It starts before the match starts. It's Damian Priest. She attacks R-Truth. You know, gives him beatdown before the bell starts, and then the bell goes on. So definitely LaShawn. Daphne LaShawn is a referee at this match. This 8-minute fiasco, so to speak. So they take the fight outside the ring there. You know, Damian Priest was really just beating up the holy hell of R-Truth for like a minute or so. And then that's when the new Spirit Squad 2.0, they run out there. Go, team, go! Go, team, go! And that is the DIY. was it Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
Go, R-Truth, go!
They go cheer R-Truth. He gets another second win. And then he turns Damian Priest. He gives Damian Priest, goes and accomplishes a perfect 4-point Otis and rams himself directly, or he gets thrown into the ring post. And then in the ring they go, and Damian Priest is literally getting treated like a, like a red-headed stepchild. Yeah! I don't know what that means. But he's getting owned by R-Truth. R-Truth is just beating the holy hell out of Damian Priest. That's right. Giving him, like, doing every John Cena move. You know, the old the shoulder tackle. Ha! Ha! Shoulder tackle. You know? Gives him the old five-knuckle shuckle. You can't see me, you can't shmee me. Everything. That's R-Truth's thing. It's like John Cena. It works for John Cena, it works for R-Truth. Because everybody says, eating this up. And then gives him the, the attitude adjustment, you know? Boost for a pin attempt. And then gives him the STFU. Damian Priest sees this looking bad. He's like, oh, he's really getting owned. And then outside the ring, because if, I believe R-Truth just kept it on there, just ignored everything that's going on, would Damian Priest have tapped out? Who knows? But while this is happening outside the ring, it is the Spirit Squad 2.0. Attacked by JD McDonagh and Finn Balor. Meet them all up there outside the ring. And then R-Truth, he takes off the move and decides to refocus attention on all four competitors outside the ring there. And he gives him a massive, he goes to the top rope and jumps right off there, you know? And then the landing was terrible because there was like no one catching him. No one was really catching him. And R-Truth like lands on his face between all four. It was hilarious how that could have happened like that. How could no one could have caught him? Four right people there, but R-Truth still lands on his face. R-Truth gets back in the ring there. He gets, now Damian Priest, he's got this lariat, where it looks like he's getting hurt too, because it looks like their two bodies are colliding, like, you know when two wrestlers go at each other, and they hit with two wrestlers go for the high cross body? It looked like both these guys were going for clotheslines, and they both knocked each other down. Go, oh, that was an even shot there! But regardless, it was Damian Priest with the upper hand. After that, it was South of Heaven chokeslam, puts down R-Truth. 1, 2, 3. It's over, and then after that, it is the, Judgment Day. Putting the stomps on the Spirit Squad 2.0. That's right. The Regeneration X, they're calling themselves. Regeneration X, a.k.a. the Spirit Squad. So, moving on. We go with, oh my goodness, Becky Lynch with a word to Nia Jax. Proving Rhea Ripley correct. Becky Lynch challenges Nia Jax to a last man standing match next week. Later renamed Last Woman Standing by Michael Cole. So yeah. So a huge match against Becky Lynch, huge match against Nia Jax. Yeah. Well, it's a good thing it's wrestling, you know. So anyways, it's professional wrestling. So anyways, next up we go with in the ring with a nice little promo. It's Jay, I like cheese mousse. With my French bread, cheese mousse. With my French bread, cheese mousse. With my French bread. When I fill my belly up, I think I'll just go to bed. That's right, cheese mousse. Oh, who doesn't love cheese mousse anyways? So anyways, Jey Uso. He's talked about his history, why he went to Raw in the first place. So for a fresh new start. But, you know what, just when he tries to escape, the bloodline brings him back in. So it's all about Jimmy. He challenges Jimmy Uso at WrestleMania, you know. Except, or I'll knock the yeet out of your ass. What does that even mean? Knock the yeet out of your ass. Regardless, it sounds weird. So, we move on to backstage, and it's with, what's that, Gunther, and Jackie Redmond with Gunther. And it's the thing is, she's assuming people are talking in a locker room about, you know, how Gunther has become overconfident with his title reign. What? What? That's nonsense. Nonsense. Every single title match Gunther has had, he's put on 5-star matches. Period. Although there could be more matches. Maybe that's what they're saying, that he's becoming overconfident because he's pulling Roman Reigns, just barely fighting now and then. He's just fighting now and then. But regardless, Gunther, he's one of the greatest for a reason. I think he's straight up one of the greatest wrestlers out there. One of the greatest wrestlers of all time. He's that great. Mike Skills, great. Anyways, he feels very flattered by the gauntlet match that they put together to make for his next opponent at WrestleMania. So now here we go. After that, we got ourselves a little bit of Hall of Fame inductee. A Hall of Fame inductee. And it's Muhammad Ali is going to be inducted into the 2024 Hall of Fame. And I'm thinking, Muhammad Ali? What did Muhammad Ali do in the WWE? Apparently, he refereed a match with Inoki or something like that. He refereed a match. Now he's in the Hall of Fame. So that opens the door for everybody who has a little part. Gobbledygooker, is he going to be a Hall of Famer too? Corporal Kirshner. I'm pushing for Corporal Kirshner. Hall of Famer. You know, Barry Horowitz. Mm-hmm. Anyways, moving on. We got ourselves the gauntlet match, the main event gauntlet match of the night. And it starts. Now, the people in there, it's Ricochet, Chad Gable, Sami Zayn, Bronson Reed, Shinsuke Nakamura, and JD McDonagh. Now, it starts with this. It starts with Ricochet versus JD McDonagh, 12-minute match. 12-minute match. This is about 25 minutes, almost half an hour, this thing here. Almost half an hour, this whole thing. But anyways, this starts with Ricochet versus JD McDonagh, and this was about 12 minutes. This was close match of the night. This part of the match was incredible. JD McDonagh, I think JD McDonagh is one of the true greats of wrestling. He's an architect of wrestling, and he's got, not only is he a great wrestler, he's got great mic skills. I think with the Judgment Day, he's been doing nothing with Judgment Day. I think he's been taken for granted. I think he could be doing a lot more. This guy is a great wrestler, you know, versus Ricochet. And this guy is one of the greatest out there. And I think both these wrestlers here have got the glass ceiling in the main roster. You know, glass ceiling, they're not going to get the main belt. But Ricochet, glad to see him back. But this match was great. Both these wrestlers are putting on a high show. I mean, this one crazy monkey flip. You rarely see monkey flips, because monkey flips look stupid when done wrong. But this monkey flip, my goodness. Ricochet threw, like, he... JD McDonagh just got thrown. It was incredible looking. Incredible. To make a monkey flip look that good, it takes pros. Veterans like them to do something like that. A lot of back and forth. Ricochet, massive high cross body off the top. Beautiful height. Beautiful, you know. JD McDonagh. Now, this move here, they don't like people doing it, because if it's done wrong, you can really kill your opponent. It is the brain buster. And it's rarely done by anybody. Only by the experienced wrestlers do they let them do this move. The Brainbuster and JD McDonagh gives Brainbuster on Ricochet. Beautiful. Beautifully executed. And the Poison Rana. Ricochet gets a Poison Rana, which is the inverted sunset flip. Bomb. So it is, wow, it's some crazy stuff. Now, here we go. During the end of the match here, JD McDonagh tried to do his best by cheating, but he's been put on a fireman's carry. He rakes the eyes of Ricochet. And he throws Ricochet into the ring post. You know. But Ricochet does turn things around. Turn the chip around. And gives, DJ McDonagh a massive shooting star press. Shooting star press is one of the most difficult high-flying moves out there, but Ricochet... this is almost Andrew Everett level of you know, shooting star. Beautiful, beautiful. Putting out Ricochet. Moving on to the next round. It's Ricochet versus Bronson Reed. And if it doesn't have Big in his little intro, you would never know he's that big. Anyways, I always say, the first two competitors in the match here, he's got no chance of winning the whole thing. This match here, Ricochet versus Bronson Reed, was about 2 minutes long. Now, Ricochet tried to do his best, taking Bronson Reed out of his game. He gives him a tope suicida before the match started. Bronson Reed gets in the ring there. He gets drop kicked outside the ring again. Another tope suicida tries to put Bronson Reed out. Bronson Reed is obviously, he's too fresh and too strong. He catches Ricochet and gives him one hell of a world's strongest slam. And eventually they tussle some more. Ricochet gets put down again and he gets Santon. And when Bronson Reed Santons you and you're not fit, you could die. It's that devastating. And after that, it was one tsunami later and it's over for Ricochet. Ricochet, one hell of a talent. One hell of a talent. And he's just a push guy. Regardless, after that, it's Bronson Reed versus Sami Zayn. Their match was about 6 minutes. They go a lot of back and forth here, you know. And then with this, Bronson Reed's on the top rope. They start fighting top rope. Bronson Reed gets Sami Zayn onto the, trying to get the, some sort of Samoan drop happening. Sami Zayn slips out, gives him the sunset flip powerbomb. Whammo, bammo, thank you, mammo. Bronson Reed loses. Sami Zayn moves on to next round. But after that, it's Shinsuke Nakamura making his way to the ring. And while Sami Zayn's focused on Shinsuke Nakamura, look out behind you, Sami Zayn. He gets attacked by Bronson Reed. Clubber in the back of the head. And then with a massive tsunami splash, you would think it's over. Shinsuke Nakamura is just going to walk all over this match and just walk through to the next round. The final round. But that's not the case at all. Right off the bat, Shinsuke got caught wet-footed, so to speak. I think that's a word. Anyways, Shinsuke almost got rolled up right off the bat. Right off the bat. Now they took the fight outside for a little bit. Shinsuke, kicked Sami Zayn over top the commentating table. That's true. Sami Zayn, that's a lot back for Sami Zayn gets the blue thunderballs onto Shinsuke Nakamura. It's actually a blue thunderbomb. I just think it's funny when I say blue thunderballs. Because I'm an idiot. So anyways, it's a lot back and forth. Sami Zayn ends up getting Shinsuke with the surprise. One hell of a kick right to the face. The Huluva kick puts it out for Shinsuke Nakamura. And the next match is against a Chad Gable. This match was the match of the night. This match was great. You know, even though Shinsuke, even though Sami Zayn already went through two matches. Chad Gable, he got in the ring there. He made sure that Sami Zayn was up on his 2 feet to fight him mano a mano. And not to take advantage of a fallen, Sami Zayn. Like Shinsuke tried to. So weird, but he tried to do things the right way, I guess. Like what Drew McIntyre says he wants to do, but never does. So yeah, this was a lot of back and forth. Sami Zayn gets caught with the German suplex. Chad Gable loves his German suplexes. Now they take fight outside there for a little bit. Chad Gable gets he's got the ankle lock a lot on Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn gets out of that, but kicking Chad Gable off of him. He gets a nice bump onto the steel steps, like it's so. Now they fight on in the ring there. They go to the top rope. Very rare do you see this. A proper top rope suplex. Chad Gable suplexes holy hell out of Chad Gable. Chad Gable suplexes himself, that's right. Chad Gable suplexes holy hell out of Sami Zayn. And then comes the marathon. The old ankle lock marathon. Chad Gable applies the ankle lock on Sami Zayn. Sami goes for ropes. It's a rope break. But however, the torture continues because Chad Gable continues giving him the ankle lock. regularly in real life, if you were to put an ankle lock on somebody in real life, it would take seconds for the person to end it, because you can dislocate someone's ankle with great ease, you know, if it's not taken off, you know. It's just like taking a baseball bat in wrestling. You know, real life, you can kill someone with a baseball bat to the head. But in wrestling, it's nothing. Regardless, Sami Zayn's enduring such minutes of torture from the just ripping his leg to shreds. Chad Gable gives up on it, gives him the old German suplex, tries to pin him with that. The old, I can't remember what his finishing move is called. Anyway, so after that, he goes to top rope for a moonsault, misses the moonsault wildly, goes to one side of the corner. Chad Gable gets up to one side of the corner. When he turns around, he finds that he's face first against a foot, which is one hell of a kick. Sami Zayn falls up with a one hell of a kick right to the face. And then it's over, just like that. Actually, at least that's what Sami Zayn hoped for. Because he goes for the pin, and as he goes for the pin, Chad Gable flips it around. He tries to get a last minute pin himself, but Sami Zayn kicks out. Chad Gable tries to go for his slow motion German suplex. His finishing move, which I can't remember again. And then he goes for his ankle lock once again. Ankle lock. Trying to tear it off then regularly. His ankle's been through so much already. You think it's over for now. But Sami Zayn instead, he flips over Chad Gable, rolls him through. And then one, a two, a three now. The referee was in the worst position to see this. And I got a picture right here that shows the 1, 2, 3. And you can clearly see that Chad Gable's shoulders were clearly off the mat. Because the back of Chad Gable's head was on the mat, but his shoulders were clearly off. Are they going to play with that? They say, yeah, you know what? Chad Gable said, you know, I looked, and my daughter told me that my shoulders weren't on the ground. And when it comes to my daughter, when she cries, I listen to her. Because I don't want my daughter crying. So ridiculous. But regardless, will they play on? Did Chad Gable actually lose this match? Because his shoulders weren't down. Anyways, Sami Zayn wins the match, and and going on to WrestleMania to be a number one contender to Gunther. Is this where, now I know Gunther is definitely one of the greatest out there, and I think being the Intercontinental Champion is just one stop to his greatness. He's already broke records. I think Gunther is a great candidate for becoming world champion. Maybe 2025, maybe Gunther's world championship run, who knows. But anyways, all I know is this wraps up another episode of Monday Night Raw. So I've been your host, Lip Hazelwood, saying I'll see you next time on The Wrestling Show. So if you stuck around to the very end, I say thank you very much. I hold a very special place in my heart just for you, my friend. So see you next time on the show.